chapter sets out a record, a detailed record, of the time during which the waters of the flood were upon the earth. We know from chapter 7 that initially there was unceasing rain day and night for 40 days. You look at verse number 12 of chapter 7. The rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And then if you come down to verse 24 of that chapter, the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So even after the rain had ceased initially, that 40-day period, when the rain ceased, the waters were still increasing. They still prevailed 150 days after that. And that, of course, was due to the fountains of the great deep being opened up, and those underground caverns, those underground reservoirs, spewing forth, as it were, their water. And so you have 150 days. And then when you come to chapter 8 and verse 3, we're told at the end of that verse that after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And it is from this time onwards that the water level begins to decrease. It begins to flow, as it were, from off the earth. And it begins finally to find its present form and shape in relation to the deep sea valleys, the water troughs, as they were, are known in the bottom of the ocean. And the water begins to find its final level as we now know it. But then if you look at verse number 4 of chapter 8, we're told in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested. And what that means is the water level is beginning to decrease so much so that the ark can no longer float. It runs aground. It's hitting the surface of the earth. And in this instance, it does so in the region of Ararat, which we now know as the area of Turkey. If you look at verse number 5 of chapter 8, we're told that in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And so the water level is beginning to drop, and the tops of the mountains are now visible. They're now above the water level. Look at verse number 13 of this chapter. And we're told here, it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. The first year, that is the year after, the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month. And then in verse number 14, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried completely, and this is the time that Noah steps forth from the ark. So how long was Noah in the ark? How long was he inside the ark? Well, if you go back to chapter 7 and verse number 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. So I want you to notice that date. The second month, the 17th day of the month, that's when the flood came. And chapter 8 tells us, verse number 14, the second month, the 27th day of the month, the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God said, go forth of the ark. That means they were in the ark for 1 year and 10 days. 1 year and 10 days within the ark. And during that latter stage, leading up to the time when Noah and his family would leave the ark at God's command, during that latter stage, We're informed here that Noah releases two birds. First of all, the raven and the dove. Verse number 6, it came to pass at the end of 40 days. That is, after the period before that, the 10th month, on the first day of the month, then another 40 days pass. And Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth, of the ground. But the dove, unlike the raven, didn't find any rest for the sole of her foot. And so she returned to Noah that evening. Verse number 10, he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And this time the dove came to him in the evening, and in her mouth was this olive leaf plucked off. And Noah knew that the waters were abated. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. So he releases the raven, and the raven does not return as soon as it's released. But he releases the dove, and the dove comes back, can't find anywhere to rest. He waits 7 days, and he releases the dove again, and this time it comes back with the olive leaf, indicating to Noah that things were improving upon the earth. It was beginning to dry, and the trees could now be seen, at least the tops of them, those trees that hadn't been destroyed. And he waits another 7 days, and he releases the dove again, and this time the dove does not return. And it's an indication to him that the waters now have receded, and the earth is dry and able to be inhabited once again. This is a tremendous action that Noah performs during this time leading up to when he will eventually leave the ark. It is most significant, the release of the raven and the dove. And I want to consider just for a few moments the significance of this action. Have you ever stopped to consider Noah releasing the raven and the dove? What was the purpose? What was the purpose of this action? Now, throughout history, the history of the church, there have been a lot of weird and wonderful reasons given. And out of this chapter and out of this scene, all different kinds of allegories have been presented in order to try and explain what Noah was doing. But it really falls into the category of undue spiritualizing. Some people have wonderful imaginations, but that's all they are. And I think we need to keep in mind what God said in verse 21, that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. We should not rest upon man's imagination. Weird and wonderful explanations as to this action that Noah performed. But you must always keep in mind when you're studying the Bible that you should look for the most straightforward and the most sensible explanation. In fact, you should begin by asking the question, does the Bible tell us the reason for this action? Does it tell us why Moses or why Noah did this on this occasion? Well, look at verse number 8 of the chapter. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. There's the purpose. It's given to us. It's written down in Scripture. We don't need to sit down and allegorize. We don't need to sit down and spiritualize. You know, people say the raven was a type of the law, the gospel, or the dove was a type of the gospel, and the raven didn't come back, the dove did, and they use all these different analogies. Instead of just stopping and asking, what does the Bible actually tell us about the reason why he did this. And here's the reason. He released the raven and the dove in order to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground, to see if the waters had begun to recede and the dry land appear. That's why he did this. Now, when you stop to look at the biblical explanation, it tells us something very significant about Noah. It tells us that he was a man of faith. This action of releasing the raven and the dove was an action of faith. It was an expression of faith. It was his faith in action. It was the anticipation and the expectation of his faith. Noah, by releasing the raven and the dove, was saying to the world, I do not believe that this ark was intended or made to be my coffin. I do not believe that God intended me to die in this ark, but rather this ark would bring me to a new world. And so he sent the raven and he sent the dove to see if it was ready, to see if God's word had been fulfilled. Look at back at chapter 7 of Genesis and verse number 3. But we'll read the previous verse. Verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also, of the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. This is before the flood came. And when God refers to the earth, he's referring to the earth after the flood. And Noah recognizes that this flood is not going to be permanent. This flood is not going to last forever. That God will purge the earth, and then he and those animals will inhabit that new earth. And so now, when he releases the raven and when he releases the dove, he wants to see if God's word has been fulfilled. His faith has an expectation. His faith anticipates the fulfillment of God's promise. That's what this action signified. And true faith will always look for the fulfillment of God's promise. It lives and acts in anticipation of what God has said. Now you just stop and think about this situation. This was the great judgment that was to fall upon that old world. But after that judgment, there would be a new earth, as it were. And Noah and those who were with him in the ark would be spared to see that new earth. And Noah is looking for it. He's watching. He's looking for the signs. And he sends the raven and the dove to see, has God fulfilled his promise? Is the promise of God fulfilled? There's an anticipation in his faith, and it's expressed in this action. Now the Bible tells us there's a greater judgment to come. It is the last judgment, the final judgment, not by water but by fire. When this world will perish, it will be burned up. But the Lord has promised to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And those who are the Lord's, who are in the ark of God's salvation, their faith is a faith that manifests itself in action. There's a looking forward. There's an anticipation. There's an expectation for the fulfillment of God's word. Noah was looking for the indication, for the signs that God had fulfilled his promise. That's the characteristic of true faith. And that's the significance of this action. But I want you to notice not only the purpose of this action in releasing the birds, but I want you to see the patience in this action. Because the Bible tells us here, when he released the raven didn't come back, but when he released the dove, it did come back. And he waited 7 days. You see that in verse number 10. He stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came to him in the evening with the olive leaf. And so Noah knew, he knew. He knew. At this point, he knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. But you'll notice, he didn't go out of the ark. He stayed. He waited yet other 7 days, verse 12, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him. And if there was any doubt in his mind, that doubt was now eradicated. And he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the waters had receded, but he didn't leave the ark. I want you to see that. He didn't leave the ark. In fact, he didn't leave the ark until God told him to leave the ark. Look at verse number 15. Verse 14, in the second month, the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. You'll notice his patience. You'll notice how he's waiting. And he sends the dove out, and it comes back that night. And he waits another 7 days, and he sends the dove again, and it comes back. And he waits another 7 days. And this time it doesn't return. But Noah doesn't charge ahead to get the mallet, to get the wedge and start battering down the door of the ark to get out. He waits. And he waits until God speaks. Until God speaks to him, he waits. And therein lies a most significant lesson for all believers, all who are trusting the Lord Jesus. If you're trusting the Lord Jesus, you will have a faith that is anticipating him, waiting for him, expecting him. But you'll notice that true faith always waits for the Word of God. There's a connection here between God's providence and God's word. And outside of the ark, the providence of God is controlling the circumstances. God has said this great flood will come and destroy all flesh. The waters prevail. And then we're told in verse 1 of this chapter, God made a wind to pass over the earth. Isn't it good to know tonight that the God of the Bible is the God of providence, that he's in control of all circumstances, even the very elements of the atmosphere, the rain, the wind. And here was God working outside of the ark, working in the environment, working upon the earth, sending all that was required to dry up the earth, to make it habitable once again for Noah. And you'll notice that Noah doesn't move until God speaks, until he has a word from God. And there you can see a connection between God's providence and God's word. He doesn't move. He doesn't take a step out of the ark until God tells him to. Now you and I have to act according to the rules of common sense and do all that we can. That's what Noah was doing when he was sending out those birds. He's wanting to see, what's it like outside? Is it ready for us to exit the ark? Is the earth ready again to sustain life And you can see how he's acting with common sense, and he's using what he has at hand. He's using those birds in order to give to him an indication, to gain knowledge of what was happening outside. But you'll notice that he doesn't move until he has God's word. He doesn't step forward until God opens the door and bids him go through it. And what a lesson there is there for the child of God. We need divine guidance, and God in his providence controls the circumstances of our life. But we must not move forward in any course, in any pathway, until we have the word from the Lord. The Lord guides his people by his word. You can see the purpose of this action and the patience in this action. But let me conclude tonight by directing your attention to the parallel that this action presents. Because there's a great parallel here in the spiritual life. Isn't it interesting, the two birds that he chose, the raven and the dove? Why was that? Well, we read in chapter 7, in relation to the various animals and birds that were brought into the ark, that they fell into two categories. And the first category were the clean beasts and the clean fowls. And the second category were those that were unclean. And as you go through the Bible, you'll find that the raven is described as an unclean bird, whereas the dove is described as a clean bird. And they have two very different natures. While they may be fowls of the air, they have two very different natures. The raven is a scavenger, whereas the nature of the dove is very different. That's why when Noah released the raven, it didn't come back to him. How come the dove came back, but the raven didn't? The Bible tells us that the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, but what about the raven? Some commentators believe that there would have been debris floating in the waters. There would have been perhaps carcasses of dead creatures. And the raven didn't mind at all landing on those soiled and muddied pieces of debris, or even on a dead carcass. It was a scavenger bird. It was an unclean bird. And that's why it didn't come back to the ark. But the dove was different. The dove would not soil her foot. The dove would not land on a dead carcass. It found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. It is a bird that is the characteristic of grace. People often refer to the graciousness and the gentleness of the dove. They're two very different natures. And that sets before us a great parallel in the spiritual life. Turn over to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. And this little book contains a love song initially between Solomon the king and the Shulamite girl. And Solomon the great king condescended and put on him the garments of a shepherd lad, went out wandering in the fields and met this Shulamite girl, and the two of them fell in love, and then he left. And the Shulamite girl went in search of him, and she came to the palace of the king looking for the shepherd lad, only to discover that the shepherd lad was none other than King Solomon himself. And you have this beautiful relationship that is formed. And it tells the story, as it were, of the relationship between Christ and his church. He is the great King, heaven's King, but he condescended. He came down to this world, humbled himself to become the shepherd of the sheep. But in doing so, he won his spouse. And this is how the Lord Jesus, we should read this song of Solomon like this. Solomon represents Christ, the Shulamite represents the church of believers in the Lord Jesus. Chapter 5 and verse number 2, she speaks and she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefined. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, Solomon speaking to the Shulamite, but it's a picture of Christ speaking to his church. And he says, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. You'll notice how the dove is used to describe the church, the spouse, the bride of Jesus Christ. And when you take that thought and you bring it back to Genesis chapter 8, you find Noah releasing the raven, and the raven is an unclean bird, doesn't care where it lands, what it associates with. But the dove finds no rest in a world that has been judged by God, a world under divine judgment. And there is a spiritual parallel, because those who are the Lord's, those who are trusting in Christ, like that dove, they find no rest in this world that's under divine judgment. There's no rest for the soul. No satisfaction, no contentment with this world. And so she returns to the ark. It's in the ark that she finds rest. Isn't it interesting that the ark is depicted by rest at this point? Verse number 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. There's the dove flying in the skies above a drowned and drenched earth, and she doesn't find any rest, and she returns to the ark, the resting ark. And what a picture that is, a reminder to us that the people of God, those who are the Lord's, don't find any rest or satisfaction in a world that's under divine judgment. But our rest is found only in Christ. And the ark is a picture of Christ. I emphasized the date when the ark rested because that's important. You'll notice it's the 17th day of the seventh month, and that's of great interest to us. Old Testament Israel had two calendar years. They had what was referred to as the civil calendar, and then they had the religious calendar. And the religious year began, if you turn to Exodus chapter 12, the religious year began for the nation with its exodus from bondage in the house of, or in the nation of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12. And at this point, they're still following the civil calendar of the year. But when God brings the Israelites out of bondage, this is what he says to them in verse 1 of Exodus 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This marked the beginning of the religious year, the religious calendar. And the religious year began with the Passover. Now, when you take the civil calendar and the religious calendar, you'll find that the first month of the religious year corresponded to the seventh month of the civil year. And it was in the seventh month that they ark rested. On what day did they ark rest? In the seventh month. It was the 17th day. Look at verse 6 of Exodus 12. And ye shall keep it up. This is the Passover lamb. It was separated on the 10th day, and it was kept up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. On the 14th day, the Passover lamb was sacrificed. And that was the very day when the Lord Jesus was crucified, all those years later, in the seventh month of the civil year, first month of the religious calendar, 14th day. And for 3 days thereafter, his body lay in the tomb. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, he rose from the dead, conquered the grave. The very day when the ark rested, the seventh month, the 17th day of the month. And it sets before us tonight where the believer finds his rest, his satisfaction, his contentment. It's found in Jesus Christ and his finished work. His death for our sins, his resurrection for our justification. And it's only in him, it's only in him that the soul finds rest. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot in a world that was under divine judgment. This world tonight is under divine judgment. And you'll not find any rest for the soul. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's found only in him tonight. And if you come to him, and if you trust him, then he will give you rest you have never known before. It's found only in Christ. What a parallel there is in the message of the raven and the dove. Are you resting in Christ tonight? I trust you are. Do not look anywhere else. You will be dissatisfied. You will be disillusioned, disappointed. But if you trust Christ, then your soul will be blessed indeed. Let's turn in closing to 260 in our hymn book. 260. And we'll stand together as we sing. Oh soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Saviour and life more abundant and free. 200 and